Hey there, everybody. It is February the 9th, 2011. You, my friends, are listening to This Show Is So Gay. I'm your host for tonight, Ken. All by myself. Nobody else wanted to play with me tonight. Jody's off singing somewhere. Carrie's with her kids. Tanya's in Snowden. I just always assume Tanya Snowden. Julie will be here next week. I'm just saying, I'm all by myself. It's sad. Right before I got on the air, I called my mom and she said, oh, you should be like Robin Williams in Good Morning Vietnam. I'm actually not going to do that, but that's my shout out to my mother. So welcome here to This Show Is So Gay. Check us out at thisshowisogay.com. Can we start off with some really, really happy, fun news? I love this story. This is my story of the week, a new segment that I'm introducing right now that I will forget by next week. When 7-year-old Malcolm's mother challenged him to, quote, improve the world by donating money she gave him to charities of his choice, Malcolm selected the LA Gay and Lesbian Center and the Human Rights Campaign. In a letter to the center, Malcolm wrote, quote, he's 7 years old. He wrote, quote, I am sending you this money because I don't think it's fair that gay people are not treated equally. 7-year-old Malcolm. Now, the center's CEO, Lori Jean, a guest on this show, gosh, so long ago, we got to get Lori Jean back on the show, said, quote, what we found in our mailbox has everyone here at the LA Gay and Lesbian Center buzzing. It was a small envelope that carried two letters and a check for $70, but this is what blew us away. It was from a 7-year-old boy. His name is Malcolm, but we call him our littlest champion. Our littlest champion. On a note that accompanied the check, as I just said, he said, I am sending you this money because I don't think it's fair that gay people are not treated equally. I love that. Malcolm's gift gave me such hope for our future, a hope that when his generation reaches adulthood, all of the homophobia, discrimination, and abuse we in the LGBT community face today will no longer exist. With permission from Malcolm's money, the Gay and Lesbian Center, the LA Gay and Lesbian Center, is launching an initiative to raise $27,000 in Malcolm's name. So if you want to learn more about that, just hop on over to lagaycenter.org. 7 years old. I love that story. He's the littlest champion. Now, to balance that out, because, you know, we're a balanced show, we're going to balance that out with Dr. Phil. Did you guys hear about this? Because this is not good. Dr. Phil advised a parent on his show this week. He has got a segment called Ask Dr. Phil. And a parent whose son likes to play with girls' toys and wear girls' clothing this is what he told the mother. He advised her to, quote, take the girl things away and buy him boys' toys. Robbie tells Dr. Phil that her 5-year-old son likes to play with Barbies and likes to wear girls' clothing, which she doesn't think is normal. In the segment, she asked Dr. Phil how to deal with this behavior. Dr. Phil said, quote, there are developmental stages in kids, and it is not unusual, particularly for young boys, to experiment and get stuck on certain stimulus items. This is not a precursor to your son being gay. Okay, that's okay. I'm okay with Dr. Phil saying that. But Dr. Phil, who has recently increased his support for gay and lesbian teens, particularly when it comes to bullying in schools, then suggested that this is the solution that Dr. Phil has put forth, is to take the girl's toys away from the boy. He says, quote, direct your son in an unconfusing way. Don't buy him Barbie dolls or girls' clothes. You don't want to do things that seem to support the confusion at this stage of the game. Take the girl things away and buy him boy toys. Support him in what he's doing. This is the kicker. You ready? Support him in what he's doing. This is a quote from Dr. Phil. Support him in what he's doing, but not in the girl things. It would have been helpful maybe if there was a checklist. Maybe Dr. Phil could have put up a checklist there on the screen of, these are the girl things. These are the boy things. This is what age you need to take them away. It doesn't mean they're going to be gay, but take them away quickly. In an unconfusing way, which means take them away clearly. So, my God, Dr. Phil, that's just not good. So I'm actually waiting for this. This story just came out a few hours ago, and so just kind of waiting for what people's feedback will be. And let's see if Dr. Phil follows up on this. And I'll do happy news. We'll do happy, then Dr. Phil, and then happy again. I'm not putting Dr. Phil in the happy news, even though he's been really supportive lately. So that's just, I'm really disappointed in that story. In San Francisco, taking a cue from the Hollywood Walk of Fame, San Francisco's predominantly gay Castro district is preparing to install a rainbow honor walk that recognizes LGBT notables like Oscar Wilde and Frida. Work is expected to start this year on the sidewalk plaques, which will be installed on Market and Castro streets. The first 20 people to be honored have been chosen by local residents and merchants, and while they include people like Sylvester James and Allen Ginsberg, Harvey Milk's name is not on that list. Bevin Dufty, the gay city supervisor who represents the Castro, says Milk is already honored throughout the Castro, including having a public plaza named for him, and there's no reason he can't be added in the future. He says, quote, "I can't imagine that he wouldn't be included in the next 20 individuals. Harvey is our legacy in the Castro." Dufty says Milk would be proud of the diverse group of people, such as James, being honored by the people of the Castro. Very interesting. Very interesting that he's not part of the first 20. So ponder that. Form an opinion. Send it on over to thisshowisogay@AOL.com. All right, let's play some music for you. Here is a really, this is one that was already on my iPod, requested by tonight's very exciting guest, who I am going to gush over. I'm already tipping my hand there. I will be gushing. You'll hear why a little later. Here you go. in a billing faux pas. But unfortunately, sometimes when you make a billing faux pas, it hits the national press, and this one did. A gay couple whose wedding announcement was rejected by the Dallas Morning News has now been billed $1,034 for the ad that never ran. In December, the news told Mark Reed Walkup and Dante Walkup that their wedding announcement would not be included in the newspaper's wedding section since their wedding, conducted by an officiant in Washington, D.C. through Skype, was not legally recognized in Texas. Instead, the newspaper offered to put them in the commitments section, which typically appears on the same page as weddings. According to Change.org, Reed Walkup wrote an email to the newspaper wanting to know why they were recently issued a bill for the announcement that never ran. He said, quote, "Does the Dallas Morning News always send out invoices to, quote, customers who placed an ad online, but it was never published due to the paper's discriminatory policies? We just received an invoice today for our December ad that you banned from your paper because our wedding wasn't really a wedding in your eyes. Unbelievable." That's a quote, unbelievable. But I will echo it by Ken saying, unbelievable. Publisher and CEO James Maroney wrote back, agreeing that issuing the bill was, quote, not a good practice. Not a good practice. He thanked the couple for bringing the matter to his attention. He said he would take the matter up with his sales department. It's unfortunate. I'm sure that I've worked at places that have made billing errors. They didn't get the same press. It didn't come up in quite the same way as this one did. So that was more than a bit unfortunate. Hey, quick shout out to Utah. In a not good way, a bill that would have allowed second parent adoptions by gays and lesbians was voted down in Utah State Senate Committee. Opponents contended the bill was a, quote, slippery slope that could lead to gays and lesbians marrying. So we're trying to do foresight, I suppose, there in Utah. We're thinking, all right, we could let these second parents adopt, but then some of them might be gay. They're going to get married. So that's what shot down that bill. That's just sad. That's a sad state of affairs, which we've reported on some pretty cool news about Utah. They've done some great things too, but this was not one of the good ones. Not one of the good ones. Over in Georgia, and isn't this guy the winner of the week? A Georgia state representative, known for his extreme opinions, said letting gay people serve in the military is equivalent. Oh God. Do you want to just stop here? Should we stop? Should we do a fill in the blank contest? Like, you guys will write in, so finish the sentence. A Georgia state representative known for his extreme opinions said letting gay people serve in the military is equivalent to, and then fill in the blank. So if you're driving right now, if you're listening on your iPod, I'll give you a second to fill in the blank. Okay, if you guessed allowing drug dealers and other criminals in the ranks, you got it right. Well done, ding, ding, ding. In a wide-ranging interview with the Marietta Daily Journal, Representative Bobby Franklin said of homosexuality, quote, "The Bible says it's a capital offense. You want someone," I don't know that he said it in this tone, it's just filtered through me, so I'm sorry if I'm getting his tone wrong. "You want someone with unrepentant criminal behavior? And it's not just that. Neither should adulterers, neither should thieves, neither should a lot of things. The church is full of sinners, but we're told in 1 Corinthians, it rattled off the homosexual, the adulterer, the thief, the liar, and such were some of you, but you've been washed, you've been justified, and so forth." I'm not even following this quote anymore. "It's not what you were. You're not punishing a thought, but do you want an unrepentant drug dealer in the military? Same thing," end quote. Just to give you a little bit more background on Representative Bobby Franklin. Bobby Franklin has authored a variety of unusual bills seeking to require the state to conduct financial transactions in gold and silver. He wishes to prevent local governments from regulating the keeping of chickens, rabbits, or goats, and he looks to exempt Georgia from the U.S. Supreme Court decision legalizing abortion. He would also further like to eliminate property taxes. Unfortunately, none of these efforts have passed. Keep going for it, Representative Bobby Franklin. Whoa. Question is, there was a poll kind of linked to this. One of the poll questions was, does your local or state legislative body include any openly LGBT members? Because again, we're going with the theory that there are people challenging this and it's even more built-in support, although there are amazing allies out there, but it's great to have openly LGBT members in your local or state legislative body. So what do you say? Your three answers are yes, no, or not sure. I was actually a little bit surprised at this and happy, so you know that the statistics are going to swing our way. 78% said yes. Yes, we do have openly LGBT members in our local and state legislative body. 15% said no. And the one that I do want to work on are the 6% who are not sure. That's something you should know. we want you to know if you have openly gay folks in your local legislature. It's just good to know. All right, let's play a little bit more music. What do we want to do? Let's do a song. I don't know this one, so I love new songs that are guest requests. So enjoy this one.
On a river of sight, a boat came towards me, a flimsy disguise. Covered the devil who sang from a song sheet of how modern life's a bore. In his choir boy's attire, he sang me the life to which good girls aspire, where men in white coats give us pills to tame the horses that stamp on our floors, and pills for when the horses have bolted out the door. It's hard to explain, I don't like hanging on to reins in my hands all the time. I'm running out of trails, warm paths don't lead to where I need to get to every time. She moves in secret ways, and there is grace and poise, perfection when she takes the helm. She moves in secret ways. Now the house is on fire, the rats are all screaming, the horses are tired. They think they're still dreaming, cause the barn doors are open, the crossbar is hanging in the wind. So the devil sings higher, oh, just look at what you're doing. Yeah, he's joined by a choir of doctors and statesmen who plan their sorry lives to the last days. But look at all the happy things that happen by accident. It's hard to explain, I don't like hanging on to reins in my hands all the time. I'm running out of trails, warm paths don't lead to where I need to get to every time. She moves in secret ways, and there is grace and poise, perfection when she takes the helm. She moves in secret. Days gone by, I thought I had it all filed in little boxes. Now I find I never had control, just took little chances and won. Singing to someone, my horses are free. They answer to no one, unbridled, untethered, they roam on the unmarked land. In my house there's a calm, a peace has descended, no need for alarm. It's as she intended, I'm through with trying to fight the things I don't understand. Accept my sweet surrender to the greater, better plan. Oh, it's hard to explain, I don't like hanging on to reins in my hands all the time. I'm running out of trails, warm paths don't lead to where I need to get to every time. She moves in secret ways, and there is grace and poise, perfection when she takes the helm. She moves in secret ways.
What a lovely song that I absolutely have never heard before. So that's a new one for our show. All right. And with that, I feel it's time to welcome a guest. Hey, guest, are you ready to be welcomed?
I am so ready to be welcomed.
This is a good thing. All right. Let me introduce you. Michelle Bonilla made her big screen debut in Above Suspicion with Christopher Reeve and Kim Cattrall. She's worked with Jason Alexander, Faye Dunaway, Halle Berry, Michael Richards, Jeff Daniels, Charlize Theron, tons more. She's had recurring roles on The Profiler and Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman, where she originated the role of Teresa Morales, the first Mexican-American school marm. For 12 seasons, she played Harms, the focused paramedic on NBC's Emmy Award-winning drama ER, which I believe was a documentary, and we're going to talk about that. She made she's made appearances on boatloads of other shows, including Saving Grace, The Closer, Days of Our Lives, CSI Miami, and Baywatch Nights. We got to put that out there, right, Michelle? Okay, just checking. Michelle is one of the proud recipients of the inaugural Gift of Life Entertainment Media Award from the National Kidney Foundation, presented to the cast of ER. She's also the winner of the ALMA Award for her portrayal in PBS's award-winning photonovela series, Seeing Through Walls. Michelle Bonilla, welcome to This Show Is So Gay.
Hello, Ken. How are you?
How the heck are you doing, Michelle?
I am so good. I am so blessed. Thank you so much. What a rounding, wonderful introduction. I can't believe it.
I had to pare it down a ton. I want time to talk to you, Michelle. So let me be very, I'm going to be very upfront with you, Michelle, in a way that I never am with a guest, okay?
Oh, my goodness.
I know. Okay. The goal of this interview, Michelle, is to go as long as I can without fully delving into the fact that I believe with all of my heart that ER is a documentary and you are a paramedic, okay?
Okay.
Just putting that out there. That is the goal. I will be successful for a few minutes and then I will fail, so I just want to prepare you emotionally.
Oh, okay.
Okay, all just right. Checking. All right, so Michelle, now, are you a big TV watcher?
I do like TV. I like to watch television. I like good television.
What are we watching these days?
Here's the funny thing. I haven't a lot of the shows that I want to watch, like a show that started, I believe, this past week is Chicago. What is that? Jesus Christ, I don't know.
I haven't even seen it.
The Chicago Code.
Okay.
That looks really good. A co-executive producer on that is Lisa Lincoln Glatter, who I worked with many years on ER.
Oh, nice.
She's a fabulous director, and I just, kind of knowing that, you can kind of get the idea and tone of the show, which is really cool. So I think it's going to be very successful. You know, when I'm not being very serious about my show watching, I like to watch things like Ghostly Encounters and Haunted History.
Yay!
You know, stuff like that.
I love stuff like that. Not seeing a ton of gay characters on TV these days, Michelle.
I know.
How do we feel about that?
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, first and foremost, what's important is that they not make fun of or hold in light these kind of characters. So to not see them is okay if they're not making fun of them.
Right.
Which is good.
This is a good start.
So I believe that it takes a very unafraid sort of producer and show and writer to kind of put themselves out there and go, why not? Let's write a gay character. But someone who is not a cliche gay character.
Right.
You know, someone who just so happens to be gay.
Right.
You know.
That it's not just their complete identity. It's just, you know, part.
Part of their identity.
Part of
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Now, how about out actors? How are we feeling now, obviously, you've done a ton of interviews, and you get this question all the time. And I'm curious if your views have evolved just about... You've said, and I love this quote from you, you said when someone asked you about, well, why aren't there more out actors, you said, and it's on the internet, Michelle, so it has to be true, you said, quote, I just think it's fear. If everything is going well, you start to question, will I lose everything? Because that's the fear. Oh my God, will I ever work again? Do we feel like that fear is still present for actors to come out?
I think I really do. I mean, look how long it took Ricky Martin to come out, but
right.
He's not an actor, but... You know, but that's the thing. People create this sort of aura around themselves, and they try to work, and they try to hold up this idea of what the viewers want to see or how they want to hold them, you know, how they want to be viewed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're afraid that if they reveal who they are, well, then that will be taken away. All the love for them will be taken away. And, you know, it's taken a lot of pioneers, I believe, in television to kind of put that to rest. I mean, take a look at Ellen.
Right.
Take a look at Neil Patrick Harris.
Right, right.
I mean, these people, you know, at a certain point were like, yes, I am. Here it is. And, you know, that takes nothing away from how talented they are, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, I personally have nothing to fear. No one's really just asked me. You know, when I go on a casting session or when I'm being interviewed, you know, just to have a meeting with a producer or a director, no one asks me if I'm gay. They look at my work, you know? They look at my work, you know? And you know, they may want me to read something. And they judge me on the basis of that, you know? They're not going to judge me on anything else. I don't think, at least they're not saying it to my face in the room. I'm very lucky to, I believe, in terms of actors, you know, the first Latina to come out,
right.
And it hasn't affected me creatively or, you know, in the business that I'm in.
Why do you think that is? Because I love that. I love that about your career. It doesn't seem to have hindered your career at all. It doesn't seem like you've experienced this typecasting that everybody forecasts. Well, if you come out and you're Latina, you're going to get this part. And that doesn't seem to have happened for you. Why do you think that is?
I think I'm lucky in that first of all, I guess the people that I've worked for, meaning producers, you know, different producers of shows, you know, for example, ER,
right.
I'll take that example. That was written for a male. Yeah, it was. It was Chris Harms, and I walked into the audition over at Warner Brothers, and there were about 15 men in the room of all different shapes and sizes, and my representation at the time had the wherewithal to go, you know what, let's submit Michelle. Let's get Michelle in there and see what she can do, you know, and you know, Jonathan Kaplan, who directed that episode and also executive produced that episode, saw me audition along with the casting director and John Wells, and they were like, oh, you're really great. We like you. You know, they hired me, so.
Nice. Now, I'm a little confused. I don't exactly know what you mean, audition. I don't understand why you would audition for a documentary, but I'm not ready to talk about that yet.
Okay, that's fine. Fine. Denial is always the first thing. It's a long and winding road.
You have no idea how deep it is, but we'll get there. Now, do you know, I feel like you know this, you are known, there are many interviews that mention how good you are at weeping on camera.
This is true.
I'm not saying that you've built a career on it. I think you're multifaceted.
I think you're
multifaceted, but you're somewhat known for being able to cry on cue. So let's say that this is our learning annex with Michelle Bonilla, and the subject is crying on cue. Advise the masses.
Well, first of all, it's a misnomer. It's not about crying on cue. It's about being able to live truthfully in any given set of circumstances.
Nice.
And then it goes far and deep into the world of acting in our learning annex, and we would have to go to a different class. So we'd all have to take a field trip to the theater.
That is so funny. Well, we would have to pay you a fee for the learning annex, so let's put that out there, too.
Exactly. I don't know. I mean, I'm very, you know, I was born and raised in Hollywood, California, and a lot of the stories that, you know, it touched me emotionally, you know, just regular old people stories, you know, and to be able to portray those people and not portray them as a cliche. That's one of my things. I don't, you know, if a character is asked to be Latin, I'm not going to, don't ask me to audition with an accent anymore. I'm not going to do it. You know, I'm
right.
going to audition as I would audition, you know, and I'm not going to sound like Carmen Miranda when I do it. So, you know, so to be able to just, you know, go in there and do my work, I guess it's just, it's a niche I've kind of fallen into, but I'm glad I've fallen into it because it's given me the opportunity to work with amazing people.
Oh, yeah.
like Holly Hunter, who is just a doll, and the new cast of Criminal Minds, Suspect Behavior.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And right, and you know, some the likes of Forrest Whitaker, you know, working
wow.
with that kind of actor. So it's been amazing. You know, that show's actually starting in mid-February, and next week, I believe.
Wow.
And Yeah, and I have an episode coming out called One Shot Kill. So, but in that one, I get to play a detective. I get to, you know, I get to wear a suit and badge and, you know, hold a gun and, you know, dodge bullets and stuff like that. So that's a another instance where I haven't been judged by, you know, the fact that I'm a woman or that I'm Latin or that I'm gay.
But then as the detective, do you see the dead body and you have to start weeping?
As a detective, I do not see any dead body, nor do I weep.
Oh, good.
So actually, this was a nice little reprieve from the weeping.
And Kleenex's stock goes way down with your new role.
I know. This is so hysterical. I auditioned for a part in Law and Order Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And they know I was coming in. They know the part I was auditioning for. I swear to God, if Megan Bramman, the casting director, didn't have a box of Kleenex right there. And sure enough, you know, at the end of the audition, she's like, Michelle, right there, right there.
Some people strive to be on the cover of Wheaties. Michelle Bonilla, Kleenex. She's shooting for the Kleenex endorsement. We will try to get you that. You would take the Kleenex endorsement, right?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
The official face of Kleenex, Michelle Bonilla. Just trying it out.
Thank you. I'll welcome any and all, you know, I'll welcome any and all commercials. This is good.
All right. Now, I'm ready. I'm ready to talk about ER.
Okay.
It's funny when people say things like, oh, well, there shouldn't be a problem with someone playing a lesbian. If you're playing a lesbian, that doesn't mean that you're a lesbian. Just like if you're playing an axe murderer, it doesn't mean that you're an axe murderer. I think that's actually a Nora Dunn quote that I remember reading a while back. The problem is with ER, I actually think that you're a paramedic. the whole cliche doesn't really hold true for me. I will be very upfront with you. I feel like I grew up on ER. If I ever have to go to a hospital, I kind of look around for these people. They're never there, which I always assume they have the day off, and the fact that I'm in Vermont, not Chicago, but that doesn't really play into it.
Okay.
I would assume that you have met people as delusional as me who think that you are a paramedic.
Sometimes they have.
This is the part where you make me feel better, Michelle.
Oh, okay. How do I go about this? Well, you are not alone.
Yay!
There are people who have come up to me and, you know, have asked me to, you know, read their pulse.
Nice.
And I kind of look at them and go, oh, okay. Not really what I do, but I just do that on television.
Nice.
But you know, what can I say? I don't want to burst your.
Go for it. Go for it.
But I have all of my scripts.
Oh, that's so exciting.
Yeah, if you want me to take a picture of them,
I kind of do. Oh, I will put it on the homepage of the website. I'll tell you that right now.
Okay. Well, then I will take a picture and I'll take, you know, of like practice of all my, you know, I'll strewn some ER scripts on the floor for you and just to kind of let you know, in a gentle way that the set existed on stage 11 at Warner Brothers in Burbank, California.
I don't understand, and yet I do. This is going to be the first time I scare a guest, which then Mona's not going to be happy with me, and then it's a whole mess. And you don't like to piss off Mona. I don't like to do that, so I try to stay on Mona's good side. Everybody knows what I'm talking about there, right? I will tell you, my partner is a nurse, and he said,
"Oh, good."
He said you should tell her she gives a really good bullet. So you give a really good bullet, apparently.
Thank you very much.
Look at that.
I've had a mouthful of bullets that I've had to deliver. And believe me, that is not a set you want to mess up on your bullet on to start all over again. Because they were notorious for filming 1 to 2 pages of these very elaborate, you know, paramedics coming in, cars, you know, gurneys flipping off of, you know, we had to do all that fun stuff. And there was dialogue in between all of that, and you never wanted to be the one to mess up that dialogue.
No. Now, I would be very nervous. I would just say, oh, you're so pretty, George Clooney. Oh, sorry, was I supposed to give the bullet? I'm sorry, I screwed that up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, favorite ER moment. Hit me.
Favorite ER moment.
For you.
For me, when I, there's so many. One of them was when I got to step out of my duds as a paramedic and dressed in normal street clothes and was kind of like this nemesis to Dr. Chen Hua, who was played by Ning Na. So it was fun to kind of not only get my hair done on, you know, flirt around with Mekhi Phifer, who was a doll, but also have this, you know, on-camera moment with Ming Na, kind of like, oh, you wench. No, you right. wench, you wench, you know. So that was kind of fun.
I actually remember that.
Mm-hmm. So that was a fun moment. And always love being smashed through the hospital doors on the gurney giving CPR.
Look at that.
One of my favorite moments.
That is a core workout if ever I've seen one.
It was always fun. It was always fun to, you know, swing about.
Now, you know? Certainly there were lesbian characters on ER. Did you ever look at, played by fantastic people we love, Laura Innes and Lisa Vidal and Elizabeth Mitchell, did you ever see those characters and say, oh, I kind of want to be one of those characters?
Oh, absolutely, because yeah. they had bigger parts. The only reason why, are you kidding me? I mean, everything's written so well. I mean,
yeah.
I just as an actor, truthfully, these scripts were amazing. They were so, so character driven and just an amazing forum to care for actors to play in.
Yeah.
So, I mean, any of those parts would have been a dream, not having anything to do with them being gay or, you know, just any one of them.
Now, a question comes up all the time. Did you have any twinges of, oh, it would be nice to have maybe a gay person playing one of these parts, or you're totally fine with the fact that they were all played by straight actors?
I never felt any.
Yeah.
No, I never. I think that they did such a great job
such
with
a great
it. I
job.
Think that, you know, yeah. See, I think that goes back to that whole thing. I believe I'm an actor first. Mm-hmm. You know, irregardless of my sexual orientation. And if you suck as an actor, well, then I hope you know, get replaced. But that's the thing. I mean, Lisa is a great actress, and so is Laura Innes, and so is, I mean, all those people, I mean, they wouldn't have been cast
yeah.
if they weren't just fabulous, you know. And so that's the thing about working on a set is that, you know, as such as ER, when the cast is great, you know, it really doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. You know, but, for example, I just completed a short film called Slip Away.
Okay.
You know, and I wrote it and produced it, and it's a universal love story about these lovers who just happen to be two women and what happens when, you know, drugs and alcohol kind of get it in the way, creating
yeah.
this sort of triangulation in the relationship and what happens because of that. You know, I didn't write it because it needed to be written about two gay women.
Right.
You know,
it was a love story.
It was a love story. And, you know, and it was based on my own love story
nice.
That happened to me. However, you know, the person, you know, and it was important that I give back to the lesbian community, but also I wanted to give back to the Latin community because it was very important that I cast
Great.
A Latina to play opposite me because it was she who was going to make an important decision, and I wanted that important decision to be played by a Latin woman. And it was very hard. It was very hard to
yeah.
cast, I mean, another Latin actress who could play that part. You know, there were certainly some offers that I had out to some name actors, but a lot of them, number one, didn't want to do it because of either the subject matter, which was, of course, a gay subject matter, or didn't want to do it because they didn't want to be identified as Latin, even though they were Latin, and I can't tell you who that was, but
yeah.
It was true.
Oh, that's, you know? That's an interesting conversation to
yeah.
have.
Oh, yes, yes. I will gladly have that with you off the air.
Oh, yeah.
But there are people who are, you know, you delve into a lot of these different areas where people don't want to be identified. And then we go back to our first question, right? Then we go back to why is it that people are, you know, are afraid of coming out in this business, right? But what was important for me about Slip Away was to not only create an opportunity for myself as an actor with, you know, my first writing, my first producing foray, you know, going down that field. Mm-hmm. But it was also to create kind of my own therapy, to kind of get over what happened, being in a relationship that was kind of doused with substance abuse and not of my own substance abuse. You know, right. I didn't do anything like that. But what was interesting is that I decided to play the character who was an addict.
Oh.
And who made... So that's my own artistic choice to, you know what, I'm going to play the addict. And it was really therapeutic, you know, especially in the whole writing process of it, in, you know, the rewriting, just to kind of purge all these feelings, because
sure.
It didn't make any sense to me, this whole sort of being in a relationship with an addict and not really knowing and all that it comes with.
Oh, this is important work. This is important work. No, where are we going to get to see this?
Well, it is making the festival route this year, and starting off in the international route. We're doing the 21st Melbourne Queer Film Festival in Australia,
wow.
Which is March 17th through the 27th of this year.
That's a long flight.
Yes. It's been an official selection for that. But hopefully, let's see, where are you guys? You are in...
We're hanging out in Vermont. We're pretty near Boston. Not too far from New York City.
Well, we've submitted to our good friends at the Boston International Film Festival, as well as the Boston Lesbian and Gay Film Festival, to be held at their... museum. They hold that at the museum.
Oh, we'll definitely go see it. We'd love to go see that.
Yeah, so hopefully, you know, people will get on board and programmers will kind of see the importance of a short film like this. And I'm very, very lucky to have had an amazing cast. Lauren Buriel, who plays Selena, who plays opposite me. Hal Sparks.
Hal Sparks. We love Hal Sparks.
Of course. And then Wilson Cruz and Taya Gill and amazing musicians who've lent their music to my film, Annalise, who is an amazing artist. You can find her on MySpace. And Jasper James, who is an amazing artist herself.
Oh, yeah. We've had Jasper on the show.
Uh-huh. She is phenomenal. And we have her music as well as another artist. His name is Arles Estes. And so a lot of people have come together, and because of what the film is about, to create this, to create the story of this relationship. And I'm really proud of it, and I hope that, we have a Twitter page and a Facebook page, you know, and a website, you know, www.slipawaythemovie.com.
Fantastic.
And we're on Twitter, and we're on Facebook. So, you know, we're tweeting away, Facebooking away, and, you know, just doing that whole festival circuit with Slip Away.
So exciting. So exciting.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's really a dearth of gay people of color, and certainly of gay women of color represented on the screen. And so that will be a sorely needed addition to the whole film industry. I mean, it's needed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I got to ask you about the musical selections for tonight. So this is the part of the show, Michelle Bonilla, where you tell our listening audience what some of your song selections say about Michelle Bonilla. We'll let you do a little psychoanalyzing, okay?
Oh, okay.
All right. So this song was already on my iPod. It's one of my favorite songs. What does Donna Summer's I Will Go With You say about Michelle Bonilla?
That it's more what the feeling of the song conveys to me. It means you can do anything. You know, it's like there's such a power in her song. You know,
oh yeah,
in her voice, and the melody just crescendos, and you know, she busts out of. I just love that sort of I will conquer. You know,
I love that.
I love that. And she talks about it in a love, you know, in the subject of love, as she always does. But that's what that conveys to me. And I just totally, I love just blasting that song. You know, I feel like it could do anything. Nice. Like after that song plays, I go, woo!
I could get on a gurney and do CPR. No, I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah, see?
All right, we'll do two more. What does She Moves in Secret Ways say about Michelle Bonilla?
It's the humanness. I relate to this because it's very human. It's about being tempted and making a choice and feeling at times down.
Yeah.
And then once again, it being a moment, there are moments where you could feel like that, but we always know that moments are fleeting and feelings do pass and feelings change, and it's about the passing of those moments and making a better choice.
Fantastic. That's a good one. That was a good one. All right, I'm only going to make you do one more. And let's do the Annalise song. What does Annalise's Shoulda Known say about Michelle Bonilla? This is the song we'll play at the end of the show.
Well, this song is one of the most beautiful songs I've ever heard, you know, and I really related to it in terms of the relationship that these two characters in Slip Away, Selena and Jane, have. And it's from the point of view of you really can't control who you love, and even though, you know, in retrospect, you should have known all of these things that were going on that were wrong in the relationship,
mm-hmm.
but you choose something else, you know, even though your heart breaks, you know, you can count on your hands all the things that were wrong with it, but, you know, you still loved, and you can still love.
Oh, good stuff. That's good stuff. All right, so we got Slip Away, the movie, coming out. Anything else we need to know about of all the cool things you're doing?
Well, I am going to be playing Detective Nina Hernandez.
Yes.
On Criminal Minds Suspect Behavior at the beginning of March. So that is coming out on CBS, so you can check your local listings on that one. And it's called One Shot Kill.
Fantastic. And there will be no weeping.
There'll be no weeping.
Okay.
And, you know, for those gamers out there in the room, I just completed voiceovers, and so you will probably hear me on a game called Fallout New Vegas, as well as a Star Wars video game. So
very cool. Oh, that's kind of fun. Oh, that's a different audience, Michelle. I'm just saying. I hope I have some crossover audience there, but I'm not too sure. Next week, Michelle, we have Mariah Hansen on the show. Have you ever been to the Dyna?
Oh, of course I've been to the Dyna. I know Mariah Hansen really well.
So do you recommend? I keep saying that I'm going to go to the Dyna. One year I'm going to the Dyna.
You should go to the Dyna. It's fabulous.
Okay.
It's there are tons of different fun things that you could do there. You can go dancing with your partner, or you could lay down by the pool, you know. And, and if you get sick of chicks, you know, there's always, I think, a week later is when the guys have their little get together.
No, I'd rather, honestly, be with the chicks.
Okay, cool. Well, if that happens, it's so fun, Mariah. And Mariah always manages to get really great talent to play her shows. And it's always really fun, and great music, great DJs. The women who hang out there, you know, it's a good selection. Nice people. No one's, you know, creating a ruckus. However, there are those few. So
I think that's me.
Be on the lookout. But it's fun. It's fun. You can pick and choose what you go to. There's always a comedian. There's always, you know, some live music. There's always, you know, at different venues at different times during the day.
So what I hear you saying is that Mona is creating a ruckus. And you heard it here on our show, folks. Just putting that out there.
Yeah, Mona is creating a ruckus. What can I say? She is the one who's responsible for it all.
Folks, you must go check out slipawaythemovie.com. They're tweeting. They're all over the place. That is going to be fantastic. Can't wait to see it. Michelle Bonilla, what an absolute treat having you on the show.
Oh, thank you so, so much, Ken. Thank you, thank you.
You are doing...
And I wanted to ask you, do you think you were successful, and do you still think that ER is in a documentary?
I do. I do. I swear, folks, I have a PhD. I'm quite normal. But yeah, no, I have to say, and I will tell you, I have not seen yet the final season.
What?
I know. And I own, I can't believe I'm saying this out loud, which I really shouldn't, although my friends know. I definitely own the first 14 seasons on DVD, and we're working our way through the... but I have not, I can't really remember why. I think it was because I was writing my dissertation, and I said, okay, I can't do the dissertation and watch the last season of ER. And I'm not saying that was an easy choice, but my dissertation advisor didn't really understand the choice, so I had to write it. So I've not yet seen the last season. I'm waiting for it to come out on DVD. And you were there at the last episode.
Oh, I was.
What was that like? Oh my gosh, I can't even ask. The end of the documentary.
And it does come to an end.
Okay.
It does come to an end. It was very good. You won't be sorry.
All right. I'm
you
excited.
Won't be sorry.
I mean, all I know about the last season is a lot of people come back, so I'm excited. Michelle, an absolute treat having you on the show. We wish you all the best in this amazing work you're doing. Slipawaythemovie.com. We got Criminal Minds. The spinoff is coming up there in February. Thank you so much for calling in. All the best from us to you.
Thank you, Ken, and to you.
All right. Do good things, Michelle.
I will.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, sweetheart.
Bye.
Bye.
I tried. I tried to make it sound like ER is not real. I failed. I'm sorry. I think it's real. I think these are real people. I think they're doctors who are in it. Yeah, I'm sorry. All right. Hey, if you think I'm delusional and you still want to listen to the show, I hope those two things are not mutually exclusive. Please check us out at thisshowisogay.com. You can, as always, send us an email at thisshowisogay@AOL.com. Every stinking email you send us, and by that I mean every email you send us gets answered. So send us an email. We've been getting a lot of really fun ones lately, just to folks that are listening. You don't even need to have a question. You don't even need to have a guest request, though if you have those, it's great. Just send us an email at thisshowisogay@AOL.com and say, hey, I'm listening. There you go. Love those emails. And of course, there on the homepage of thisshowisogay.com, you can see all of our upcoming guests. We have some incredible, incredible guest coming up on the show next week, as Michelle and I were just talking about, is Mariah Hansen, who will become only our second three-time guest. We love having her on the show. On March 2nd, Amos Mack, who's the editor-in-chief of Original Plumbing magazine. And on March 9th, legendary, legendary civil rights champion Ginny Appuzzo, really the first out gay person working in the White House years ago. What an absolute treat that will be to have her on the show, and tons more. So a lot to check out there at thisshowisogay.com. And of course, stroll on over to the Facebook, type in This Show Is So Gay. You should like us because we sure as heck like you. And that about wraps it up for us here at This Show Is So Gay. Have a most amazing week. Get out there, do incredible things, educate yourself, and remember, above all else, why be gay when you can be so gay?
Couldn't tell by looking, it took everything to be stronger than I really am today. Something that I'm not. Couldn't tell by looking in. I just looked away. I guess I should have known, and that's what I always say. I guess I saw it coming, but I convinced myself somehow you were looking at me the way I'm looking at you now. Yeah, I guess I saw it coming, and I guess I'll be okay. I guess I should have known, and that's what I always say. still can't believe when heartache sneaks up on me. Yeah, it always finds a way. Guess I should have known, and that's what I'll. Never easy when it's too little, too late. I'm too hard on myself, but what's the use in that? 'Cause I know all my should've known aren't gonna bring you back. So good. Fall apart about every other day. Thought I'd found a silver lining shining somehow through the rain. I'm giving up on thinking, 'cause it all turns out the same. I